we'll be concluding this, the fourth and final installment of Tales of the Baal Shem Tov and Anoshim Pshutim, with the Baal Shem Tov and his relationship and his thoughts about simple folk, with a series of smaller tales, small in quantity, but very large in quality, describing the tremendous qualities that are found within each and every individual, within each and every Jew, even, and possibly especially, the Ish Poshut, the simple person. A terrible decree was once issued in heaven about the Jews of a certain village, that they were faced, God forbid, with destruction. The Baal Shem Tov called on his two holy friends, Rab Mordechai HaTzadik and Rab Kohos, and together they planned how to be mevatel the gzeira, how to nullify this decree. The Baal Shem Tov made an aliyah on the Shoma. He sent his soul soaring heavenward and learned that it would be very, very difficult to repeal the decree. On his way back to earth, the Baal Shem passed many heavenly hecholas, heavenly portals and palaces. One palace in particular stood out from the rest because of the shining light that shimmered from it. Drawing nearer, the Baal Shem Tov saw that it belonged to a certain villager who was accustomed to recite the entire Tehillim 5 times each and every day. And it was the letters of his Tehillim, of his Psalms, that gleamed and glowed and so beautifully illuminated the palace. The Baal Shem Tov, upon seeing this, traveled to the place where this villager lived and asked him, "If you knew that your portion in the world to come could be used to save a Jewish village, would you relinquish it for the benefit of those Jews?" "If indeed I have a portion of the world to come," answered that Jew, "I would gladly give it away to save a Jewish settlement." And so the awful decree was abolished. And now some more tales in this vein. The Baal Shem Tov once came to a city just before the High Holy Days and asked the townspeople whether there was anything unique and idiosyncratic about the way their chazan, their cantor, would chant the prayers during the High Holidays. And they answered that their chazan was in the custom of singing the Al-Chet, the confessional prayer, in a very happy and joyous melody, although the confession itself is a confession of sins. The Baal Shem Tov asked that this cantor be brought before him and asked him to please explain his strange behavior of using such a merry melody for such a solemn prayer. And the chazan, the cantor, answered the following: "When the lowly palace servant rakes the palace courtyard of all the refuse which is left by the various inhabitants and dwellers and visitors in the courtyard, both two-legged and four-legged, is he necessarily depressed? On the contrary, he is very glad that he can serve the king, if only by attending to the sanitation. It's no wonder, then, if he sings happy songs while he's at work, although the work itself may not be the most pleasant." And this parable was what the cantor gave the Baal Shem Tov about singing a happy melody at a time of confessing for one's sins, where the garbage, as it were, is being dragged out. "If those truly are your intentions and thought when you daven," said the Baal Shem Tov in satisfaction, "then yichehei chelki imoch, may my lot and portion be with you. Your service is very, very meaningful." Another tale. The Baal Shem Tov once set forth on a journey with his close disciples. On their way, they passed a coach which was full of merchants who were traveling along the same road. The Baal Shem Tov got the other coach to stop and exchanged greetings with the oldest of the merchants, who he treated with great respect. And the Talmidei HaBaal Shem, the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, could not understand their rabbi's seemingly strange behavior of showing such deference to a common merchant. Baal Shem Tov replied, "This simple merchant is worthier than I. He has been going to Breslov for the past 34 years. He returns home for a stay of 3 weeks a year, and he has a clean slate of no transgressions, neither when he goes nor when he returns." And now, somewhat of a longer tale. The Baal Shem Tov once took several of his disciples and traveled with them to a distant settlement. In that settlement, there lived a Porush, an ascetic, who sat and studied Torah all his days and would not indulge in any worldly pleasures. When explaining Torah concepts, he would say, "Kach kibalti Meliyahu." So I have learned, received the tradition from Elijah the prophet. In this same settlement, there lived a simple tanner, an unlearned man, who despite his ignorance, was accustomed to recite Tehillim, the Psalms, all day long, except when his hands were particularly besmirched. When they were very, very dirty, then he would not. Otherwise, he would constantly be busy with reciting Tehillim, whatever he was doing. The group, meaning the Baal Shem Tov and his disciples, first went to the house of the tanner, where the Baal Shem Tov told his Talmidim, his disciples, to shut their eyes and place their hands on his shoulders while he chanted a song, a nigun. How great was their surprise when they saw a heavenly clamor rising from this poor house. The group then went to the Parish's house, to the ascetic's home, where they went through the same spiritual exercise. Now, to their horror, the Talmidim saw serpents writhing and scorpions hissing. The Baal Shem Tov told them that although it is stated in the Sefer Tana Dvei Elio, a book which was authored by Elio himself, that even the lowliest slave who fasts for 40 consecutive days and does some other things can experience a revelation from Elio, from Elijah the prophet, this does not necessarily mean that there's a revelation of their own soul's spirituality and holiness. And thus the Baal Shem Tov explained that the snakes and scorpions that they saw were manifestations of the ascetic's gross spirit and were in fact sparks from the Nochash HaKadmoni, which was in Gan Eden. Then the Baal Shem Tov told them to go and request a broche, a blessing, from this simple tanner, for the tanner's words had the powers to split the heavens. Another word story about a simple man, and this is from Chabad Mocha, and it's about Herschel Gereber, Herschel the Digger, as he was known. The Baal Shem Tov had as a disciple a simple man who supported himself by digging wells. Since he became mature, this honest and pious man had never eaten anything other than bread dipped in salt and had drunk nothing but water. He supplied his family with as much food as he could afford, but as for himself, he had never savored even a taste of meat. This man as well knew the book of Chumash, the five books of Chumash, the five books of the Torah thoroughly, as well as the Tillim by heart. He knew the book of Psalms as well as the five books of Moses by heart, though he could not understand all the words, but he did know the words. And it was his custom to repeat the verses of Chumash or Psalms, Tillim, as he worked or went about his daily tasks. And the Baal Shem Tov said of this chosid of his, Herschel de Gereber hotadei lemaila. Herschel the digger has quite a say in heaven. And a final story for this installment. And this one longer a bit than the others. In the city of Anapola, there once lived a man whose name was Shopfel. Shopfel was a simple craftsman who was accustomed to daven in the shul summer and winter, never missing a day. If there happened to be no minyan on a particular day, he would stay in shul and recite his prayers by himself. The Baal Shem Tov happened once to spend the night in Anapola. As he sat at the window in his room the following morning, smoking his pipe in preparation for prayers, the Baal Shem saw Shopfel hurrying to shul in the bitter cold. The Baal Shem Tov was taken aback at the sight of this gentleman, and asked his host to be so kind to call the man to him. "I know that man," answered the host. "He is a common craftsman, and would probably refuse to come, not knowing who the Baal Shem Tov even was." After davening, after prayers, the Baal Shem Tov sent a message requesting Shopfel to bring him four pairs of socks. "How much do these cost per pair?" he asked him when the man finally appeared. "They cost a golden and a half each." "Maybe you'd be willing to settle for a golden each," offered the Baal Shem Tov, trying to draw the man out and see what metal he was made out of. "If I were willing to settle for a lesser price," answered the craftsman patiently, "I would have told you so to begin with. I said a golden and a half, because that's the price which is necessary." The Baal Shem Tov handed over the full amount, and then continued to speak with Shopfel. "Tell me, what do you do?" "Well, I do my work. I make socks," he said briefly. "How do you go about it?" asked the Baal Shem Tov. "Well, when I make 50 pairs of socks, I soak them in warm water. Then I wring them out of the water. I wring the water out of the socks and lay them out to dry. Afterwards, I wait for the retailers to come and buy them. My customers always come to me, and I tell them to supply me with wool for the next batch of socks, which I will be making. Actually, I never leave my doorstep except to go to shul every day. If there's a minyan, I daven with it. Otherwise, I daven alone at my regular place in shul. In your honor, however, I left my workshop and brought the socks myself." Impressed by the simplicity of this man's words, the Baal Shem Tov continued to ask some questions. "What did you do when you had to marry off your children?" "God helped me from here and there, and my business was able to cover expenses." "And what about Tehillim? What about the Psalms?" asked the Baal Shem. "Do you recite Psalms?" "What I know by heart, I say while I work," Shopfel replied simply. Later on, commenting upon this strange and beautiful and holy and simple man, the Baal Shem Tov said, "Such a man is the very pillar of a synagogue, and such people who conduct themselves with such simplicity and act in these beautiful and unobtrusive ways and have their faith in God, a and utilize their time for spiritual purposes are the pillars of the Jewish communities until the coming of Mashiach.